Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dolson. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. How are you doing? We ended the show on Wednesday with a load of chat about video games. I've mainly spent the last 2 days trying to illegally mod my Nintendo Switch, Chris.
Illegally? What are you doing?
I mean, it's not illegal. I mean, I don't think modding it is necessarily illegal. I think if you start, you know, duplicating ROMs, I just want to play like old Monkey Island games on the old Switch. I know you can get them everywhere else, and I know you can probably download them on the Switch store, but I've already bought them 7 times. Not buying them again.
Oh God! Isn't there a new Monkey Island game coming out?
There is, Ron Gilbert. Ron Gilbert. I don't think he's. I think when you have created something that people have a fair amount of nostalgia for, you get a lot of love. And you don't get a lot of abuse, and you know, and also being a man on the internet does help. But Ron Gilbert released news about Monkey Island, and they've gone for a slightly different art style to what it used to be. And the internet, I think he's expecting a better reaction. The internet gave him both barrels because people don't like people messing with their nostalgia and not doing fucking pixel versions of Monkey Island. And so he's running scared a little bit, and he's like, well, I didn't enjoy announcing that I've made a new Monkey Island. Didn't enjoy that at all. Oh, rubbish. So but hopefully it'll be good.
I saw the art style and I think it looks all right. I don't see any problem with it.
It's good. It's a bit. I think the animation is a bit new grounds flash animation from 2005. But it's all right. It's fine. It'll do. You just thought the gags are good, don't you? Are good, don't it?
As long as the story's good, that's the main thing, right? That's the main thing that counts.
Exactly.
And the story this week is that it's a weird one. Don't really know how to broach it. That okay. I am publicly dating Sharla.
Chris, you delivered that like you're admitting a massive crime.
I've killed them all. They're all dead. I don't know how to fucking word it.
It's
dating Sharla.
So Chris Broad is dating. I'll do it. Chris Broad, you are dating Sharla from the internet.
From the internet.
Yeah. I'm against this unholy union and all it stands for, but I'm very surprised at how interested people are. I understand it. I kind of understand it when you like two kind of creators, you like the stuff that they do. It's something beautiful. But when you sort of Google someone quite well known, it's usually like the first thing that comes up, isn't it? Who is Chris Broad dating? Who is Chris Broad married to? Who is like that? People really do, and it's not people who are wanting to have a slice of old Chrissy B necessarily. It's just this kind of like almost morbid fascination with people's relationships and their private lives. I guess it's. I guess when you give so much of yourself through a YouTube, people want just that little bit more. They just want to be a little bit closer because they feel like they know you and they do know you.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? When you're a vlogger, you're very
It's just you. It's not like the old way of doing things with celebrities or whatever, like where there's like three walls of PR people first and that you don't actually ever get to really know what they're like in reality.
Yeah.
You know, with vloggers, they're there and that's them, bearing all, being relatively transparent. And so I kind of get why people want to know more. The reason, Sharla basically did a Q&A, I think, a week ago. Less than a week ago, and she sort of talked about it there. I think she broached it pretty well. We talked about it for a while, and we've been dating for a while, and it's one of the reason we left it for a while was because obviously we wanted to make sure it worked.
Yeah,
it would be a bit rubbish if we're like, oh, we're dating, and then 3 months later we had an argument about cheese and cats, and it's over now, guys. It was a good 3 months, but we're done. And so we wanted to take our time, make sure that it was good. It turns out it's good. It works well. Making it sound like a train set, but it's good. It's been a good
nine
relationship.
Out of 10. Gameplay, 9 out of 10. Graphics, 10 out of 10.
IGN, 9 out of 10. So it's gone well. And
good.
Yeah, you've obviously known for a while yourself because you're a friend. And
yeah,
we'll tell
you I was good because me and you used to do it for a long time. That's how we first met. But yeah, it's a
imagine how
thing.
Connor feels.
I know, right? Well, that was the there was a lot of memes going around that made me giggle from the TV show Parks and Rec, where one of the characters says, this is my boyfriend and this is my boyfriend's boyfriend.
It is a bit like that. It's an awkward situation, but all's well, all's going well. And actually the response was I think better than I anticipated.
What I was going to expect.
People are going,
fuck you, Chris. Fuck you, Charlotte. This is awful.
I've seen couples announce they're dating and the response has been toxic.
Right, okay.
I think we're lucky. Both our viewerships, there's a lot of overlap, obviously, but our viewers are actually quite good people. Yeah. I find people that have an interest in Japan are generally like quite smart. So that kind of helps. And they're not, you know, they're good. If you listen to this, you're good. Well done. Give yourself a pat on the back.
Well done.
You're a top individual. So I think that was one thing that helped. But you know, I suppose if you look through our videos, there was always signs, and we didn't necessarily, in the last few months, we didn't hide it that much.
Yeah.
It was there. If you wanted to be a poor man's Sherlock Holmes, the signs were there.
Is this why you're announcing it? Because you got bored of trying to maneuver things out of the way and delete things?
Well, it's just been a bit of a pain because obviously we can't, I don't know. It's just always at the forefront of your thoughts whenever you're filming something or doing something.
Yeah,
you know,
Oh,
we're gonna hide this. Oh,
freedom!
Like put the
Chris,
photo
the
up of us having dinner or whatever, or like you know, there's all those sort of things, and it's a bit shit. And there's someone who's very open and transparent, and that's what I think I'm known for, just being myself and just speaking my bloody mind. It's been a bit hard sort of holding that back and hiding that, even though I maintain it was the right thing to do, as you should. All's good there. Thank you. If you've seen Charla's video, you've said something nice to us and you're listening to this, guys, thank you very much. Much appreciated. And I haven't seen a single negative comment so far, so that's good. Again, don't know what I was really expecting.
I could be the first. Yay.
You don't deserve her at all.
Well, let's make it very clear, you don't. I mean, like this, I think you know that, Chris.
No, probably not. But
good stuff.
It's gone well. It's gone well. And
I'm glad it's going so well. And I'm glad I wish you all the best. I never know how to do this. When I sort of say many happy returns to people who are getting married, I never know the right term to say when someone is expressing something quite
good.
Quite honest and real.
Something good,
good.
Well, it's important to point out we're not married and we're not engaged or anything like that yet. Because the only problem is when you announce this, people start speculating all sorts of things and sort of making up the narrative and putting together pieces. And like there's all that. That's all there is to it. We're dating. We're not engaged or married. That's it, really. Yeah, boring, isn't it?
It's boring, isn't it?
Boring,
isn't it? Being the premier YouTuber relationship. on YouTube.
Just feel sorry for Connor. But aside, my fitness journey is going pretty well so far. I've been...
someone's dead.
yeah.
She's made it very clear.
I've been working out, been down the gym, been
cool. What have you been working on? This, backs and lats. This, running.
I've been doing this rowing. Spartan race. I'm doing a bit of rowing. Yeah, I've got this Spartan race in September that I'm definitely going to die doing. In fact, I have to sign a waiver saying
don't die.
If I die, it's not their fault. Basically, But it involves a 5 kilometer run up a mountain. I can't run on a flat surface. How's that going to work?
5 kilometers isn't that long when you think about it, but running and up a mountain, they're the variables you don't need.
I'm very worried about that. And I've got 20 obstacles as well, like monkey bars. And if you fail an obstacle, you've got to do like 30 burpees as well.
Right, okay. That seems... I'd drink in a monkey bar for the... Is that at the top of the mountain? That sounds like a lot of fun.
So you get to the top and you've got to like roll a tyre and do the monkey bars and jump over a fucking wall. I've got about 2 months to... I think 2 months to the day to pretty much get my shit together. So it's an all-out assault at the moment. I've changed my diet. I've been eating the shake. Have you heard of Huel? H-U-E-L.
Oh, I bet you absolutely honk. Huel. I've seen people who have sort of gone pure Huel. Pure Huel. Huel. And they their reports are basically, I'm just farting all the time. How's it gone for you? How's your belly?
It's not that bad, actually. It's not that bad. Okay. But obviously, because it is like a high-protein thing and it is a liquid. Like, it takes like 2 or 3 days for your digestive system to adapt to that. But, it's been pretty good, actually. It tastes nice, chucking a banana, chucking some peanut powder. Job done. And it's kind of like a fitness meal replacement, whatever the hell it's called.
Okay.
And but I still eat food. And straight after this live show, I'm going to probably eat a mountain of chicken at a yakitori restaurant. So, change of diet combined with gym. I do like 100 jumps on the skipping rope, whatever you call it. I do press ups, sit ups. I do all the major running ones.
Yeah,
all the exercise.
I'm a real gym bunny, says Chris Broad. That's great stuff. Like, again, 2022. It's just something else for you, Chris. Announcements. Running, doing stuff. I've been trying to. You know, we are two men who are trying to shift the timber a little bit. And you know, you say very nice things about me, but I am a stone of wit. I have just been eating carrots all fucking day. I just eat carrots these days, Chris. I just
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer
constantly eat carrots. Now, the problem is, you know, who else likes carrots? My dogs. So if I'm eating a carrot, I'm basically just waving around dog food and the dogs are like just constantly chasing after me for some sweet carotene, which is annoying. So basically I'm like the Pied Piper of Hamelin, but instead of a pipe, I've got a carrot. But they're kind of doable up until about 5 PM and then you're like, I can't eat another carrot. I just can't. I'm going to be ill.
I should try the Pete Donaldson carrot diet and see how I fare. Yeah. You've got, I swear there's a packet of Doritos behind you, next to your head.
There's
in
a
the
packet
shop.
Of Doritos. And as you can see, Chris, there's a packet of Doritos behind me because there is what can only be described as, and it's a branded pack and it says Pete on it.
What?
Because we did some kind of promotion with Doritos for the women's Euros, the football Euros. And they sent me a pack with Pete on it. And that is a surefire way of getting me not to eat the bag because it's got my name on it.
Where's my Doritos collaboration on the Abroad Japan podcast? Where's my customised bag of Doritos?
Well, you're not doing anything with the women's Euros. You've not mentioned it once. You've mentioned one woman and it's Sharla.
I'll mention anything for a pack of fucking customised Doritos.
Is that all you do? Okay, seriously. All right. I will Sharpie the word Chris on a packet of Doritos for you. There's and I've also, back in the day when I was popular and did a radio show, HP Sauce sent me a bottle of HP Sauce with my picture on it and it just says Pete's HP Sauce. Again, surefire way of... And then somebody stole it from me and used it on their dinner at work. It was in someone's fucking drawer.
Oh, no.
And I was like, that's my special... HP sauce bottle for crying out loud with my face on it for crying out loud.
How much fucking customized food do you get?
It's all about getting your packs. It's all about getting your promotion. It's all about getting your campaign on people's social medias. And there is no better way to get it on people's social media. Because people are, by their very nature, on social media, they are cynical and they want to show themselves in the best light. So you give them a packet of something with their name on it or with their face on it, and they will put it on social media, guaranteed. Because, you know, people are show-offs, aren't they?
Is that why Starbucks did it? Remember Starbucks? I don't know if they still do it. Where they would, like, you'd be like, what's your name? And you'd be like, Chris. And then they'd write
fuck
your
face.
Name. They'd write it wrong. Like, I think someone wrote my name as Crud. And Crud. I just I got my coffee back.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Crud. Yeah. It was clever. I should have posted about it. But then I felt complicit. If I'd posted about it on social media, I'd be playing into their game, wouldn't I? The game of Starbucks. Bastards. We've got a story this week from Joe from Sheffield, the great northern city. Begins, hi, Chris and Pete. My name's Joe, and I'm from Sheffield. I have a story about myself experiencing jet lag in Japan. My wife and I had booked 1 week in Japan and 1 week in Australia for our honeymoon. And our flights to Japan meant we had to leave Manchester Airport to go to Frankfurt, Germany, to Singapore before landing in Japan. What kind of flight was this? You can fly direct from Heathrow, mate. Just go there. You don't need to go to Frankfurt and Singapore. That's insane. Anyway, my wife and I were so excited that we didn't even sleep on the plane. Good God. We got to our hotel in Otsuka about 7 a.m. and we're told we couldn't check in until 2 in the afternoon. The staff said that they would keep our luggage safe while we went out and explored. However, walking in the outside world with the clothes we wore on the flight in 43 degrees Celsius heat and humidity was mental. While walking around the streets of Japan, we stumbled across Sunshine City in Ikebukuro. In the hope that the place had aircon, we ran inside. The welcome breeze of the aircon gave us a new lease of life, and we started going through all the shops that Sunshine City had to offer. While walking, the jet lag hit me full force, and I legit nodded off while I was walking. My poor 5'4" wife managed to catch her 6'2" husband and wake me up quickly to avoid any further embarrassment. At this point, we decided that we needed to find a place to rest, but didn't know where. We were too tired to think properly. Then at the other side of the shopping mall, we saw a rather amazing sight. One of the supporting pillars to Sunshine City had benches wrapped around their base. One in particular was occupied by Japanese men and women, all asleep. There was space within the group that was calling our name. We sat down and we both took turns napping in the middle of Sunshine City until we both had enough energy to carry on our adventure. Never did we think that our first day in Japan would involve napping with several Japanese strangers. Keep up the podcast, guys. Have a great day. Joe from Sheffield. Napping in Sunshine City. What a legend. You've been there?
No, I've never been to Sunshine City. What is it like? Is it kind of just a magical place?
Shopping mall.
What's a Japanese shopping mall like? I've never been to one.
Just a shopping mall with shops, isn't
it? Because because we're like in America, and to a lesser extent here, we got a Westfields, and you know, is the Mall of America still open? I don't fucking know. Like, you know, the big kind of outlet malls are out on the edge of the city, and they've just got fucking big box stores, massive bloody things.
Yeah.
But in Japan, more shopping malls that you'd call them are just one shopping streets, aren't they? Where it's just kind of like a hooded kind of walkway, a covered walkway with shops on either side, and they're mainly indie shops. There's not, you know, there's not that many big ones. You might see McDonald's.
That's in the cities, yeah. And in towns. But most Japanese towns do have an Aeon shopping mall. It's usually the same company. The company's called Aeon.
Okay, yes. Okay.
And they are just, you know, Western-looking, normal malls, pretty unremarkable places. So, yeah, no, we have them here. We have them. Mm. I think I went on one of my first dates with Sharla to Sunshine City, actually, outside the Pokemon Center. Woo-hoo.
That's how you secure a lady ticket to a shopping centre, guys.
Buy her a fucking toy Blastoise or whatever the Pokemon are called these days. There's so many good places you could have gone, though, to nap, Joe. You could have gone to karaoke, you know, air conditioning room. Yeah. A lot of people just go and sleep in a karaoke place. You could have gone to a manga cafe. You could have gone to a capsule hotel. Could have gone to a love hotel, have an hourly rate. You know, there's so many options. I get it that it's a little bit intimidating just going into a love hotel. But that would probably be my option. Go to a love hotel. You can go any time of day, get an hour, 2 hours, whatever, for 3,000-4,000 yen.
It's not something I've ever done, but I would definitely, I've always thought about that. I just need 20 minutes. You know, in the hot sun, in the afternoon, I do it here. Sometimes I'm just absolutely wrecked. All I need is 5 minutes. All I need is 20 minutes, just a little head down. And it just sorts me out the rest of the day. And you're not just sort of chasing your tail, chasing the dragon with drinking loads of espressos and stuff. It just, that's all it takes. Is there such a thing as, like, you know, you got like namahodai in tabahodai in karaoke places and cafes and stuff.
Or you can drink, or you can eat.
Sleepy Hordai. Is there a
Sleepy Hordai?
Nemas? Which one's sleepy? Which one's unsleepy?
Nemui means sleepy.
Nemui. Okay, so
Nemui.
Nemui Hordai.
Nemui.
Nemui Hordai.
Nemui Hordai.
Sleepy Hordai. You can be as sleepy as you like in here. Don't worry about it.
I like Sleepy Hordai because obviously that's an English word combined with a Japanese word. Nemu Hordai actually could work. It does sound like it could work.
Yeah.
But I'm won over by Sleepy Hordai. That actually sounds really sinister. Sleepy Hordai sounds like a code to assassinate someone. loads of options in Japan. Mm. Loads of places to sleep. Next time you come back, Joe, please do that. Don't just mope around in Sunshine City. I don't even know what this place, like, I don't really understand what this sort of bench looks like where everyone's just randomly sleeping. Is that normal? It actually just sounds like homeless people there, because there are quite a lot in Ikebukuro. So maybe you just joined them without realizing it.
Mm.
It's entirely option. surreal. But again, also don't. Why didn't you fly direct? God forbid. Why did you fly from Manchester to Frankfurt to Singapore and then to Japan? I guess because of Australia. Maybe that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Suicidal flight.
Oh, well.
Anyway, what's going on the news this week, Mr. Dawson? What's going on around Japan?
Chris. Now, you are a man who creates content. You occasionally need to record on the road, and that means two things. Hydration in the summer months in Japan, but it also means using a load of fucking batteries. Now, most of the things that you use are rechargeable, but every now and again, there'll be a little microphone, there'll be a little camera or whatever that requires your friend and mine, the AA battery. Now,
right,
there's a man in Kyoto. I don't know what his fucking deal is, but good God, he goes through a lot of batteries every day, which is fine. Right. You're allowed to consume as much as you like. There's no limitation about how many batteries you can buy, but there's certainly limitations on how you manage to dispose 50 batteries that you use in a day. This guy uses 50 fucking batteries in a day. This man in Kyoto, there's a 23-year-old man, let me tell you, he doesn't dispose of them in the best way. Now, Japan's pretty, depending on where you live, they're pretty careful about how they expect you to dispose of recycling, burnables, combustibles, and batteries. Now, what you shouldn't be doing is what this 23-year-old man is doing, is filling plastic soft drink bottles with AA batteries, and in the dead of night, he's going down to the local canal in Fukuchiyama City in Kyoto and just throwing them in the fucking canal. Bottles upon bottles, 1.5 litre bottles filled with AA batteries in an agricultural canal. He is just... He's responsible for 20 other bottles filled with 100 batteries each. Basically, he uses a mobile phone charger that ran on AA batteries, and he was getting through 40 to 50 batteries a day to keep his phone working.
I don't think
that's an efficient... I mean, I'm not... What's that?
3.5?
5? Yeah, but like, what's he... How many... my God. He's getting to 50 batteries a day and he's throwing them all in the river. And they describe him as an industrial strength litter bug. I think that's putting it kindly, to be honest.
More like an industrial strength moron. There's so many... there's just so many things wrong with this story. What's he doing? Why is he... Why not just get a better phone? The money you're spending on the batteries to power
it. Buy bigger batteries? Buy bigger batteries. I've just come up with some other plan other than using 50 batteries a day and then throwing them in the canal. It's just good stuff.
Just the act of buying 50 batteries a day to power a phone that probably could just be replaced is one thing. Putting them in a bottle after they've been used and then tossing it in the canal in the middle of Kyoto or whatever, that's just like next level ridiculous. Like, what's wrong with this guy?
It's lovely.
There's nothing
stuff.
About this makes sense.
Look, if you're going to go through that many batteries, maybe just consider coming up with some kind of recycling plan. just wow. Wowzers.
Once in a while, we have a story come along on this podcast that just leaves so many more questions than answers. A story that makes no sense. A story, you know, sometimes I wish I was reading these stories and I lived in the UK and I could just be like, yeah, there's a man in Kyoto, isn't it? And he just throws his batteries in a river in a bottle, 50 a day. And like, they'd just be like, what? What are you on about? Like, this makes no sense. Like, these stories. Do we have stories like this in the UK of just ridiculous acts that make no sense? Like, this guy must be doing it for some reason. It's probably born out of, like, there's a limit to how much rubbish you can throw away in Japan. Often you have to take your rubbish out on a certain day. And maybe he doesn't want to offend something. Maybe he doesn't want to break the rules. Maybe he doesn't want to inconvenience the trash delivery, trash collection guys, the rubbish men. And this was his sort of way out of that awkwardness, the sort of cultural awkwardness of it all. He thought he'd just toss them in the river. Like, that's the sort of thought process that I'm trying to uncover here. Because there is something like that driving this act. Yeah. That's the only thing.
I have to try and pin
some sanity into this. This is just driving me mad. But that's probably why, isn't it?
He just wants to live life on as a borderline criminal. You know, I mean, he is a criminal. You shouldn't throw batteries in the sea, water. But people make the point that, like, there's loads of mobile phone battery renting places you can use now that would be more cost effective than using the fucking battery. It's just. Oh, lordy, Chris. Lordy.
He's using those treacherous 100 yen batteries. Like at Daiso 100 yen stores, right? You get, as he said, you get 12 batteries for 100 yen, 72 cents. But they last 4 seconds. So just use Duracell. This is an ad for Duracell, isn't it?
It's something that I wouldn't care. Like, back in May, there was a news story about a man who, a security guard, who was just constantly dropping off bottles of his own piss at a pachinko parlour car park. He had 13 litres of it, and he just kept on dropping off this piss, basically. I think we said it before. Japan's been closed off for a couple of years. People are going slowly mad. It's great stuff. I love it. That's why it's good.
There's a lot of bonkers stuff going on like this. There is. It's very odd. But now that he's been caught, hopefully this terrible littering will end. You know, that's kind of sad. Something quite horrible about chucking rubbish in a nice river. It's just really sad, isn't it?
Oh, well,
getting all Greta Thunberg now.
In Britain, we've got a ruling class that. It's relaxed all rules about dumping, but it has to be an industrial donor who does that sort of thing.
That's the spirit. We're back in just a moment with the fax machine, guys, with your comments, stories, and questions. See you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dolson? Fill us in.
Oh, I will. Hi there, cacophonous Chris and Piercing Pete. I have a keen interest in heavy metal music in Japan. I started to wonder how musicians practice, since it's well known that Japanese buildings have walls that are metaphorically and often literally made of paper. So what do the aspiring musicians of Japan do to get enough practice with their instruments, particularly ones as loud as, say, the drums? Best regards, Rich from Wales. Thank you for your message, Rich. How do people practice their instruments? You've come up with, I think, what's his name? Tokyo Lens, he does the shamisen, doesn't he, the old guitar thing.
Yeah.
How does he practice that little bad boy? Because I don't think there's many electric shamisen out there.
You know, you would do it in like a commercial office space. You wouldn't do it in your home. I mean, okay. I beatbox in my studio. And I'm, so I don't want to, you know, wake my neighbours. I beatbox in the studio all night long. And what also, like drum kits, keyboards, these days you can just plug earphones in, the electronic ones. Mm. And I have seen those to be fairly prevalent in homes. Like, people just have those, so like you can still practice on the keyboard, you can still practice on drums, but you just have to wear earphones and whatnot. But occasionally I've lived in a few apartments in my time here, and I do remember I lived in one once where there was just a piano. You could hear a piano through the wall, and it drove me mad because they weren't even good at the piano. It sounded like a cat just like falling all over the keyboard, all over the piano keys. So yeah. But most people just stick to commercial space. Definitely a problem, though. Yeah, given the thin walls, all sorts of things are a nightmare in Japan. Thanks to those bloody thin walls. We got one here from Sean. He says, hello, Pete, and hello, Chris. My name's Sean from Alabama, Alabama, sorry.
Alabama.
British way of saying it. Alabama. Hello, Sean. I'm a long-time listener of the podcast and a huge fan of the channel. My question is for Chris. Sorry, Pete. What amount of planning goes into making a typical Abroad in Japan video? Is there any whiteboarding, principal photography, and whatnot? Keep up the good work, Sean. There's a frightening lack of planning, to be honest, Sean. I've been working on a video the last week or so about misconceptions in Japan, and I've spent a lot of time on this. Like, the often, ironically, the in-studio sort of videos, like filmed inside a studio and scripted, they're the ones that take the most time and effort and planning, right? It's the ones where I go out doing something like Wacky Weekend or Journey Across Japan that are a lot more sort of less planned out, and we do it on the fly. But when I'm inside, I've got no excuse. I have to make it interesting, and so I have to script it and plan it. And for this one, I've built a flying car, and I've bragged about it. I've bragged about it more than actually spending time filming the bloody video. On Twitter every week, I'm like, just look at me, guys. Just don't mind me. Just working on my flying car. And so that, a lot of planning went into that, and I should have just not done it because it's taken an extra week and people are like, where's the video? But when it does come out, hopefully I'll be vindicated by the flying car and various other set pieces in the video. But for me, there's so many YouTubers in Japan doing this these days, J-vloggers, whatever, that I feel like I've got to stand out and do something original. And one asset that I have, probably the only only good thing I've got going for me, is that I love filmmaking and I like filming things and planning things, and I love that process, and I think that's the advantage I have, maybe, that I can try and do some really interesting original stuff.
Yeah,
but it's just a flying car, isn't it? It's a flying car. It's the main takeaway.
Flying car, isn't it? That's all you need.
It's the main takeaway.
I mean, how many projectors did you use for that shot? Because I've not seen the full shot yet, but
get on Twitter.
The video's not.
Have a look there. Go on Twitter, you can see it there. I used two projectors, one on the side, one on the back, and I shot from the front. So it kind of made it look like I'm sort of facing forwards, camera facing back. The illusion was quite good, but the interior of the flying car is sorely lacking. It just looks like a broken light and some plastic saran wrap. I'm not sure it really worked, but it was fun. It was fun. Time will tell.
Bit of a giggle.
You can criticise it when it comes out. We've got one here from Danielle from the Bahamas. Over to you, Pete. All yours.
All right, then. Danielle says, hello, Pete and Chris. Chris, my question is, do you know or have you ever considered learning a second language besides Japanese? Also, if you did go to Japan, where else do you think you may have gone, if anywhere? Go to hell, Chris. You should have gone to hell. That's where you belong.
What language do they speak there, Pete?
Oh, in hell. Hartlepudlian.
Yeah. I do want to learn another language. I'd love to use the language hacking that I utilize for learning Japanese and apply that to a much more simple language to learn, like Spanish, which is much more grammatically simple to comparable to English, of course. And because I learned Spanish for like 5-6 years, I still know a lot of words, like las tiendas, shops, isn't it? I remember things like that, words.
Right.
And I could run with that and learn the grammar and become a master of Spanish. And I love the Spanish language. It sounds wonderful. And obviously, it's one of the world's most widely spoken languages. So, yeah, I know it's not outside of the realms of possibility that I will live in Spain one day for like a year. That's kind of something I've always wanted to do. Yeah, I'll live in Spain. I'll learn Spanish and I'll go to Las Tiendas shops, isn't it?
It's the shops.
I think castles like El Castillo, a castle. Do I know any other Spanish? Is that the extent? Stadium.
That's what I was waiting for. That's what, stadium? Ooh. What?
Stadium?
Stadium.
El Estadio.
El Estadio.
Yeah.
Nice. Good stuff.
Look at that. Genius. Solid. Spanish master. Can you speak any other languages, Pete, other than Hartlepool? Hartlepool English.
Afraid not. My mum wouldn't even grace the household with Welsh. It's very upsetting. I've got the point in my life where I just cannot remember anything, and I'm just the few Japanese words I know is just my limit. I just know that's my limit.
We need to bring back speedy Japanese. We need to get you again. Yeah,
we do.
People missed that for a while, and then everyone stopped remembering it. If enough people complain, Broad Japan Podcast at gmail.com, we'll bring back speedy Japanese. Or
austerity
Twitter.
Podcasting.
Shout us there. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into BornJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Goodbye for now.
Ta-ta!
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.